He alleges that he was rendered unlawfully from Kenya to Uganda. He was abducted in the broad daylight in Nairobi and taken to the rapid response unit in Kampala, which you might know has been branded as a torture chamber by Human Rights Watch. He was held there for 21 days, and over those 21 days subjected to a series of terrifying interrogations, which were run by FBI and MI5 agents.
Why didn't they go through the proper channels to extradite him to Uganda?
I suspect because they didn't have the evidence to back up the extradition, but your guess is as good as mine, so I don't know. He's not the only person who has been unlawfully extradited from Kenya to Uganda and accused of the Kampala bombings. All eight Kenyan co-accused were extradited in manner, and in the case of one of the co-defendants, Suleiman, there is a case from the Kenyan Constitutional Court which has already declared the extradition unlawful. So it's a recognised problem, and it has been proven in one case to have taken place.
What on earth were American and British operatives doing during the interrogation? Why were they involved?
Again, your guess is as good as mine. I think that you're probably aware that the Americans and the British fund many anti-terror initiatives across East Africa and have been heavily involved in funding the Kenyan Anti-Terror Police Unit and assisting the Rapid Response Unit in their work. I understand that they were one of the first on the scene at the Kampala bombings, and in their fight against Al-Shabaab and Al-Qaeda, they've become involved, it seems, in many investigations in other countries, and in this investigation they appear to have taken the lead.
He accuses these operatives of treating him inhumanely, including stamping on his bare feet. What else does he allege?
We've obtained from our client Omar a lengthy witness statement, and in that witness statement he says he was verbally abused, he was threatened with transfer to Guantanamo Bay, he was repeatedly pushed around, slapped, he was kicked, he was prevented from eating and praying, he was punched very hard in his back, so hard that he actually suffered kidney damage. He was threatened with serious sexual assault, and during all of this time he was held incommunicado. He had no access to lawyers or to his family, and he was held in horrendous conditions, in overcrowded cells, sleeping on concrete floor, infested with lice and mosquitoes.
Other than his witness testimony, what other evidence is there of this unlawful treatment?
We've been to Uganda and collected his testimony, and we've also spent time with his co-defendants who allege very similar ill-treatment. Of course, at present, that's the evidence that we have. We will, in time, seek to obtain evidence of the physical and psychological damage.
So it could come down to a case of his word against theirs?
It could do, but in the UK proceedings, what we're doing is bring a judicial review which seeks disclosure of material to assist Omar in his criminal defence proceedings, rather similar to the proceedings that were brought in the case of Binyam Mohammed. So we're seeking from the UK government any material which they hold which will demonstrate that he was unlawfully rendered, that he has been tortured and subject to cruel, inhumane and degrading treatment, and is innocent of the charges against him. We're also challenging the conduct of the UK security services, saying if this interrogation was authorised by the Home Secretary, Theresa May, it was unlawful. If it wasn't authorised, it was in breach of new guidance which the UK government has brought out that governs how UK security operatives must act overseas.
He believes that the interrogation he suffered also resulted in evidence which demonstrates he wasn't responsible for the Kampala bombings.
What he states is that during the interrogations, he wasn't asked explicitly anything about the Kampala bombings. It's as though many of these defendants have been hauled over from Kenya to Uganda simply for an opportunity for them to be questioned at length by FBI and MI5 on a range of other matters which interest those security services. It appears he wasn't questioned about the Kampala bombings, and at one point in his statement he says the agents actually said, "We know you had no involvement in that," but they consider he has good connections within the Muslim community and were anxious for him to work for them and to report on associates that he may have.